was my concern.
Okay, all right.
So on with light tower fiber networks, and in theory, light tower does, we build, manage, maintain private fiber networks within 50 markets across the U.S., and one of our markets here is the state of Delaware, and we operate and build networks in all three counties, including Sussex. And I run sales for FiberTech in a regional area, handling Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, as well as Northeast Maryland. And Steve Warnoski is also here as well and represents Light Tower. What we're going to talk about a little bit of today is the company and then our commitment to Delaware and what we've done here to improve infrastructure and broadband reach and fiber optic rate reach. But I want to give you a little profile, background profile. We've been in business for over 20 years building fiber optic networks. We operated in the state of Delaware as FiberTech Networks up until last year when we merged with Light Tower. Today we operate under the brand Light Tower, which you probably never heard of either of them anyway, so it's not going to be a big brand adjustment for you. Our headquarters is in outside of Boston, Massachusetts. We have about 1,000 employees, privately owned, about $750 million in revenue last year. We invested $400 million back into build network infrastructure in the markets that we operate in. We have over 33,000 miles of fiber, a little over 3,000 customers, and we have about 750 miles of fiber in the state of Delaware. As mentioned before, privately owned business and invest a lot back into the company. I want to get into Delaware a little bit, though, since we're here to talk about Delaware today. This is a little bit about our commitment and what we've done to grow in Delaware. We started operating, building networks here in Delaware in the early 2000s. It's really filled a gap that was out there that wasn't being provided by the phone company or the local cable companies for businesses to use private fiber networks that allowed them to scale, know exactly where the services were in the street, and be able to build private networks. We did that with a build in Wilmington, Newcastle in 2000, where we built just a 15-mile ring for a financial company. In 2010, we entered a major expansion in Delaware, building significant fiber mileage, primarily at that time in Newcastle County, expanding to more businesses. 2013, we extended to the rest of the state and built a fiber route from Newcastle all the way south to Milford, Delaware for a cellular provider so they could upgrade all of their tower sites in the state to 4G to bring broadband and better service to the state of Delaware. In 2014, we were part of an expansion grant with DITO and IPR Data Centers as the sponsor of Wilmington to further extend the network south of Georgetown to again build on that private investment we'd already made and grow the network, and also to create a carrier aggregation point in the state of Delaware, which didn't exist. 2005, to extend our reach further, there was another grant program with the state of Delaware through DTI that were looking to motivate builds that we were already doing. We already had planned builds between our fiber in the state and the center of the state out to the east, to Lewis and to the west, and we operated in that grant and won that program, invested about $2.5 million to extend that fiber, and the state put in a $1 million grant to sort of accelerate that build and allow us to do that in advance of gaining three or four or five customers that would typically underwrite that. Last year, we continued our expansion in Sussex and Kent County through business private enterprise investment with end users and built over 170 miles of additional fiber further south into Sussex County and up on a western side, closing our ring. One of our anchor tenants for that was Delaware Electric Cooperative, where we connected substations across their route and partnered with them to utilize their pole infrastructure, again, to speed up delivery of the services. That's sort of the verbal, and then we'll get to the pictures. This is just an idea for those of you who aren't familiar with fiber network and infrastructure. It's like sort of like any other utility, except for we're starting from scratch. In 2008, this is what our infrastructure looked like in the region, where you see the blue on the bottom left-hand corner. That's Newcastle County, and that's the small ring that we built there. The yellow lines are all network that hadn't been built yet throughout South Jersey, southeastern Pennsylvania, etc. Today, this is what our fiber infrastructure looks like, other than it being a different color. We've built over 1,500 miles of fiber from southeastern Pennsylvania to Atlantic City and all the way through the state of Delaware. You see those pink lines running through the state. That is all fiber network that is in place today and in production, and we're servicing existing enterprise, K through 12, higher education, government clients throughout the state of Delaware. And we continue to expand off of that.
Do you have that map in the GPS?
We have that map in the KMZ or Google Earth file.
We have it. We have it.
Okay. We can provide. So this is really what it looks like today, and I'll get in a little more detail about what that means for the state, but just wanted to kind of give a background because I don't know how many people you know. So this is sort of the Kent and Sussex County expansion. Primarily we talk about Sussex. You can see the reach of the network today, reaching from, you know, from as far east as Lewis and Rehoboth, all the way across through Seaford today, as far south as almost to Laurel. And this network's available today for end users and other carriers to utilize. We continue to build more network in the state. We're doing business with almost every healthcare, higher education within the state today, and we continue to expand our footprint there. And I'll give you an idea of some of those folks and who we do business with and how we help the overall ecosystem, because we can't reach everybody, but we do provide sort of a backbone infrastructure that allows people to ride on those. We continue to work with the state directly through DTI and their programs there, delivering. We built fiber into 48 K through 12 schools last year as part of the E-Rate program that the state participates in. We're expecting to do more over the next few years and start to bring more and more fiber networks into those regional schools, which expands the footprint throughout the state. We work with DTI on a kind of broad array of projects. Some of the logos you see here represent, they're not all in Delaware, but many of these clients are in Delaware and are currently utilizing our network today. As I mentioned, most of the higher educations in the state are using our network. Deltek, University of Delaware, Wilmington University are currently on our network today. From a healthcare, Christiana, BB Health, currently utilizing our networks today. Nanticoke and some other folks are getting ready to come on board with some expansions they're doing. So this is typically who our end users are. We sell to enterprise and above, generally in the commercial world. We do sell to some smaller, mid-sized businesses who have bandwidth needs and our fiber is nearby, but we don't. We're essentially the high-tech plumbing, right? So we build the large paths, the pipes up and down the state so that access is made available, and then we sell our services to both end users as well as other carriers. So there's more regionalized carriers who essentially put smaller lines on the end or put sprinkler heads on the end of our plumbing so that they can deliver service out to the constituents. So that process is an organic one, and it takes time, and we'll sort of wrap this with a picture that'll show you what that looks like. But Sussex County is well along that pathway today. Today, if you're a higher education, K through 12, an enterprise or a business that our fiber runs in front of, you have literally the same type of connectivity to the world from a bandwidth speed, reliability, performance that you do if you're sitting in lower Manhattan, Center City, Philadelphia, or Washington, D.C. Our network, and this network is one network, and it's connected. We can bring people in and out of the state, both through the south and the north, at very high capacity bandwidth. Nothing that's stopping anyone from coming in here who wanted to develop a business from being able to bring in cost-effective, reliable and scalable bandwidth, and that's steps ahead of a lot of other places and folks that are more rural areas because of what we did with the state and some of the other folks in the marketplace. Kind of pass through this quickly, but this is the advantage of having a provider like Light Tower in the region. You've always had the phone company, you always have the cable company, and they have their place. But truthfully, they build networks pretty much for their own use. They build them to deliver their own services to end users. We're in a return on investment model, but so are they. But they're really worried about delivering their services over the top. Because we build, manage, maintain these networks, we build in the scale, because we are also an open access provider, which means if there's a carrier out there, whether it's a cable company, the phone company, a Wi-Fi company, a cellular provider, whoever that may be, if they do business with us and they want to gain access to our network, we have a financial model to allow them to do that. And that's 50% of the business that we do in markets like this are with carriers, not end users, as I said. One provider's already upgraded all their towers to 4G. Other folks will come in behind because we lowered the barrier for entry for some of those types of carriers to come on board. This is the network that we operate. As you can see, we're a super regional provider. You can see Delaware is right in the middle of all that with network connectivity. This network is then connected to the rest of the world, right? This is where it is.
Yeah, Sussex County and London. Yeah, I can see that.
See, there you go. Sussex County may have gotten it mixed. Someone decided to put Washington, D.C. in large print. But trust me, to Steve and I, Sussex County is in large print. And the important thing is that truly for businesses that are here and utilizing this network, they can connect at the same speed and rates that folks in much more urban and developed areas can. And that is, a lot of people don't think that, but it's absolutely the case. We're doing that today with clients. So quickly, what that means is, if you know, I'm not a techie, that's fine. We sell basic data services. We're in the chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry business. We sell Ethernet, which is just moving data between two locations, five locations, 10 locations, so that businesses can talk to each of their sites or talk back to data centers or the cloud, as we like to talk about. That's one of the basic services. Wavelengths is just a larger bandwidth size of that. Across the network. We actually lease fiber, so we put fiber cables up on the poles. Everyone drives around, they see them hanging above their head, and we actually lease. Those are cables with up from 144 to 288 individual strands of glass inside of those cables. We utilize that glass to move the bits and bytes. We actually lease individual strands of glass to clients as well, carriers and other folks out there. And we're an internet access service provider. So we operate core routers and provide internet access here for folks in Delaware. The rest of the stuff is the strawberry, and don't do a lot of it here, but private fiber networks, all different types of services that we offer. We're connected over, you know, the cloud we talk about today is really just data centers, right? Talked about bringing us data center maybe to Sussex, data centers to Kent. There's been a lot of those out there. The cloud that everyone talks about is just sitting inside of these data center buildings, where either companies are putting all their own equipment in there or third parties are putting a lot of their stuff in there, and people are accessing that infrastructure through networks like ours. We're connected over 350 of them across our markets. Again, anyone sitting here or developing their business here, they say, I've got to have connectivity to Microsoft Azure. They have it. I have to get connected to Amazon Web Services. They have it. I need to be connected to, you know, IBM supercomputer. They have that sitting here at similar price points they would have sitting anywhere else. It's not really a barrier of entry. That's a little bit about those. Our NOC, we operate our network out of three core locations, but here within the state, we have techs, construction, engineering, sales, all living within the state of Delaware. So we're a ground-up organization. We manage things from these three NOC sites across our state, but all of this fiber that's being built and managed and installed is installed by people living here in the market. And that's how it's the only way you can do it when you're putting physical infrastructure in place. The last thing I want to show everyone is sort of goes into economic development and how fiber networks grow over time, and it's an organic process, and it can be frustrating sometimes because broadband's a very local problem. We've been dealing with it for a long time. I can't get Netflix at my house. My kids can't get on to do their homework. I get broadband at my house, it's no longer a problem and my neighbors can't get it anymore, right? It's a really a local problem. Once you have it, you feel like it's not a problem anymore. So it takes a long time and it can be frustrating to people, but it does happen, and Sussex is further along than a lot of other areas. We had a similar relationship with the state of Connecticut as we're trying to develop with the state of Delaware, and that is no more than the fact that they understand we're willing to build fiber networks and install them. As long as we have paying customers on the end, we'll build. We win our business 1,000 feet at a time, a quarter mile at a time. We get closer to the next customer, we connect to them, we sell them services, and we passed by four or five other customers, and we got closer to folks who couldn't make it work financially a week before. State of Connecticut, we started doing business with in 2003. Connecticut's not too different than Delaware. It's larger, it's got some more urban areas, but it has no giant one anchor city that is taking care of everything. It has no great carrier meet points. It doesn't have any individual area, and has a lot of rural areas within the state of Connecticut as well. 2003, the state asked us to build a network connecting some of their core sites together to support their 911 business, their 911 work, as well as some of their data across the state. It was our first piece of business. We had no fiber before we built this network. It was completed in 2003. Today, this is what our network looks like in the state of Connecticut. Okay? Today, through the work we do with enterprise customers and higher education and healthcare, what we've done with the state of Connecticut, we're now connected to every firehouse and police station in the entire state of Connecticut. All 911 traffic runs over our network in the state of Connecticut. We're connected to every K through 12 and every high school and library in the state of Connecticut, and connected to over 3,000 commercial buildings. We're delivering more services on our network today than the phone company does. They actually left the state of Connecticut. SNET sold to AT&T, and AT&T ultimately sold to Frontier because the amount of fiber we installed in the state of Connecticut and changed the way people there. They had the least access to broadband when we started there. The state today probably has one of the highest access to fiber-based
broadband. Is that all light tower, or is that through another carrier?
That is all light tower. That has all been built by, well, you see FiberTech, that's our old name, so it's an older map. But that was all of that, 95% of that fiber was built by light tower, FiberTech, the company, in the state of Connecticut. We're not leasing fiber from other folks. That's not fiber we wish was there someday. That fiber is there today and servicing clients across the state. We've now brought in multiple broadband providers are providing service over our network today, competing with the local cable company, selling high bandwidth internet directly to homes.
Let's get to Delaware.
Sure. So that was the Delaware part. That is the Delaware part. So that map I'm going to end with you today.
Right?
This is what Delaware looks like today.
Right?
So our goal in Delaware is pretty simple, is to take the map that you see here and continue working with groups like yours, working with end users, to continue to expand our network, drive our network deeper into the state, and make it easier for the folks that deliver services that we don't to utilize our network for barrier of entry. Without this network, all the people that want to deliver with you services down here can't get there. There is no highway. So I'll take any questions you guys have.
Is that, when in Connecticut, was that state driven? Like, for example, you said all the schools and hospitals and all that. Leave this map up. So if somebody in Lewis wanted to access you, and maybe BB Hospital would say, okay, we want to hook into your network, but that would be the main way that you would get into Lewis, is via BB Hospital's contract with you?
Typically the way our model works is that we secure an anchor tenant for any build that we're doing, right? So it's a return on investment model, and that doesn't always, it means that we have an original tenant who's going to pay us a certain amount of money because they need our service. We build that service, we have a payback over a long period of time, knowing that we're going to sell second, third, fourth, 20th customers along that route.
Okay, I got you.
This was accelerated by some of the programs that the state got involved with from a grant perspective that allowed us to do that faster. Typically, we'd say, okay, BB, you want to do this. And then we find a second client that wants to do it, and maybe a third, to underwrite a larger build. Kind of becomes like herding cats, and as we secure the first, and the second, the third falls off. So the state was really interested in moving this faster along, and we were able to service more people faster.
And I think that's where Marty was going with his question, or where I'm going with mine, is how do you get from where we are now to what you did in Connecticut?
Sure.
Does it take companies to come in and want to be what they call the final mile person, or...
So,
or why does it, how
yeah,
does it
let me break out? That out a little bit for you. So, we are, at the end of the day, you know, when you hear about fiber, right, you hear about the last mile that everyone talks about. So, we're a last mile provider, which means that we build fiber into the business, right? So, if we're serving BB Health or, you know, an accountant's office, it's our fiber we bring in, and we bring it in. But we don't sell all the services, right? I mentioned we're chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, or Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors. So, the other, we sell to those other carriers to reach those customers. How do we expand this network? That's one way. Carriers that sell different services than we do have clients that buy things from us, and they'll buy circuit network from us, and we'll expand 1,000 feet to build to that building for that customer, and then we pass clients along the way. we get closer to the next. How do we do it? Through the state, right? We're a vendor for DTI. We connected 48 schools this year. We hope to connect more schools over the next few years. As we connect out to those schools, we build more fiber, right? So if we build 10 miles this year, we might build another 30 miles. That mile passes businesses and passes homes. It means we can service those folks we pass less expensive, but more importantly, folks that were a mile and a half away, who there was no ROI model to reach them, they're now maybe a half mile away, and we can reach those folks. And it starts to accelerate as you go, folks who want to develop.
So for instance, where the county has purchased the King Farm Industrial Park, getting service to King Farm Industrial Park, is that how would that happen?
So how that would work is we engage with the county today. The county is also a client of ours.
Sure.
So they come to us with the physical location they're looking for, and they come to a type of service they're looking for.
Right.
We'll take that information and map that with what we have today. We know our construction costs from historical builds here in the state. If not, we'll send our construction folks out to look at it, and we'll come back to the county and say, hey, listen, we can deliver this service for this price over this term, and if that makes financial sense for the county, they'll buy that service from us. We'll build the fiber, so that maybe we'll need two fibers to service them. We typically build 144 or 288 when we on the cables, and then we'll have additional capacity to sell other clients. If that initial financial model doesn't make sense, we don't just walk away. We go back and say, okay, what other factors, what other ingredients can we put in to make this work? Or do you have an anchor tenant coming into your complex that we can speak to? Is there another carrier we can bring in who may sell voice services or things that we don't do, but will ride our network to deliver those services and can provide additional revenue to go into the formula? And that's the model that we operate in, whether it's Sussex County or Center City, Philadelphia, right? We have the same problem building into a high rise that may cost us $100,000 to pull our fiber in, and a landlord who wants to charge us, you know, $500 a month just for sitting in their building.
Right.
So the barriers exist regardless of where you are. It's just how much push is there for the service. And that's the one message we wanted to deliver, which is as you develop Sussex, the backbone of fiber is there. So if you've got the right kind of business coming in who needs bandwidth connectivity, who wants to put call centers in, right? These are areas that usually could go into an area like this. They need to understand that type of bandwidth and that type of redundant connectivity is there. And our ability to get in and out of the state, both through the north and the south, so we can go directly to Washington, D.C., or up through Philadelphia.
Okay.
It's there for those providers.
What's the cap?
Cap for bandwidth?
Yeah, I mean, when do you reach your full, you can't handle any more customers?
So that's never. I mean, to be honest with you, this network, I would say to you, based on technology and where it is today, and I would just give you, again, not from a technical, but I understand, like I said, these are 144 fiber count cables,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Today, over a single strand of fiber, if we're connecting, let's say, BB Healthcare to Philadelphia or to Newcastle, a data center there, they can get 10 gigabits of service, which is essentially, you know, if you have 50 megs at home, you know, whatever that math is, 200 times faster than that over a single strand of fiber using equipment that costs less than $10,000.
Right. Okay.
We have other equipment that we can break every pair of fiber into 132 different colors of light, and every color of light can do up to 100 gigs of service.
You had us at never.
Yeah, I would say limitless bandwidth here.
You had us at never, and we've got a lot more business to
try. Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
So where do you see not the network itself, but the technology in 10 years? So if we look back at 2008, we were probably talking about DSL and maybe cable, you know, and not even cable the way it is right now. I mean, are we going to be talking about fiber in 2028, you know, when the plan is looking to be redone? What's sort of your prospect on that?
I think it's a good question, right? So there's a permeation of wireless out there. So I think at the end of the day, fiber is the highway system and is the side roads, and it's just like any other utility you build, right? It needs to be there. Now, as other technologies come out and there's a desire for more bandwidth, there's going to be more ways to get that bandwidth to the edge, whether it's over the cell phone that can now push fairly high bandwidth over 4G, 5G is like 10 times as much bandwidth, right? Wi-Fi, and wireless technologies to reach certain areas that are rural. It's never going to make financial sense unless there's some sort of something underwriting it,
right,
to build things on one customer, right? That's why electric co-ops exist, because at the time, you know, they couldn't get electric there. But as long as we've got a legitimate, you know, driver in revenue, we'll build the networks. We have a hunger for building the networks. As I said, everything you see there was built since 2008, right? And that's a significant amount of fiber. And that's our message to the county, which is don't let fiber infrastructure connectivity scare people away. This was a big problem up until 2 years ago.
Okay.
We have clients that couldn't get bandwidth, and now they can. And this isn't a sale for us. This isn't a sales pitch for a light tower. This is a sales pitch for fiber optic infrastructure that exists here in the county.
All right. Any other questions? All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your time today.
You're very welcome.
We're going to recess for about 30 minutes, I guess. And then we're going to pick up with the utility element. Is that what we want to do?
Yeah.
Does
that work? Okay. So we'll be back at 12:45.